I heard a story about President Roosevelt who, every so often during his presidency, I suppose it's the same with every president, they welcome all these dignitaries and officials from different countries, and he noticed that whenever they had this long procession and he greeted them, they didn't listen to anything he said. In fact, he believed I could say anything and they would just say thank you and nice things. And so he decided to test it one day. Every person he greeted, he said, "I murdered my grandmother last night." Believe it or not, every person said, "Marvelous, Mr. President. That's good news, Mr. President. Well done, Mr. President." Except the last one. The last one was a dignitary from Bolivia. And he heard everything that the president said. Because the president said, "I murdered my grandmother last night," and he froze. And then he stepped in closer and he said, "Well, sir, I'm sure that she deserved it." You ever notice things that we just don't listen to? Like really important things we don't listen to. You ever notice on the airports how they say, "We need your attention, please," and they even have props to try and catch our attention, and we don't give a moment's attention to everything that they are telling us through those flight attendants. Or maybe you're like me when you have an older car and you get used to the beeping and the dinging telling you that this thing is about to break down. You just kind of ignore it because you know it's going to get me to A and B fine. Or if you had the smartwatches, some of them every now and then will say, "Hey, you need to stand up. You need to stretch. You need to get out and walk." And we just kind of scroll. There's some really important messages that are coming our way, but we don't receive them because we've not put ourselves in a position to hear them. There's a timeliness to what we're going to talk about this morning for just a few minutes together, because Lord willing, next week we're going to have our Faro Gospel meeting with Mark Roberts. And our brother Roberts is going to bring some powerful lessons from the Word of God, some important lessons from the Word of God, and we need to hear them. But brethren, what will come out of next week, Lord willing, out of that gospel meeting, will entirely depend on you and I and our readiness and preparedness to receive those words. See, in Luke chapter 8, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. There's a greater section that begins in verse 9 that Jesus walks through about our receiving of the Word of God. Let's read it together. This is Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 9. Here in verse 9, Jesus is providing the explanation for the parable of the sower. And so it says the disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. He said to them, "To you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest, it's in parables, so that in seeing they may not see, and in hearing they may not understand." Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and they have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. The seed in verse 14, which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go along their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil are the ones who have heard the word in a good and honest heart, and hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. Keep going, verse 16, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed. But he puts it on a lampstand, so that all who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not become known to and come to the light. So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Well, his mother and brothers came to him, and they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. It was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you." But he answered and said to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." And most often when we come to the parable of the sower, we give an explanation that sounds a little bit like this. You and I are the sowers, the word of God is the seed, and it is our God-given responsibility to sow the seed. And so we teach and we preach and we share the word of God, and we just share it with everybody, and we hope that in time that seed will find a good and honest heart. Have you heard it that way before? Have we taught it that way before, guys? I've heard it that way a lot. That the responsibility is on us as teachers, as sharers of the Word of God. But I'd like for you to consider a different way of looking at this parable today. I really don't think that's what this parable is about at all. That the responsibility is not on us sharing the Word of God, but the responsibility is on us receiving that Word. Because did you notice there is a word that is found 14 times? I said that wrong. It's found 7 times in 14 verses. Just notice it again, beginning in verse 9. In the end of it, he says, hearing they may not understand. Verse 12, those beside the roads are those who have heard. In verse 13, those on the rocky shoulder are those who, when they hear, if you're not circling in your Bible, get circling, get underlining, notice the word. It's repeated over and over and over again. Verse 14, those which fell upon the thorns are the ones who have heard and they go on their way. Verse 15, those on the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in a good and honest heart. Down in verse 18, take heed, depending on your translation, to take heed how you hear or take heed how you listen. And then verse 21, that my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and then go and do it. The whole emphasis is on hearing the word of God. Over and over and over again, he says, you need to hear what it is that the word is saying. And so, brethren, this parable takes place every time the word of God is open before us, whether if it's a sermon or a Bible class, or a small study, or just you and I at home open with the word of God, the parable of the sower is taking place. We will be one of these soils when that seed is being sown. And the emphasis is, are you hearing? Are you receiving that word? So this greater section of Luke 8, beginning in verse 9, illustrates, for one, the receiving of the word of God, what it really looks like to receive the word of God, all the effort that's necessary to receive the word of God. That parable illustrates that just like if you want to start a garden and you want to plant some seeds, you have to do a lot of work. You can't apply the parable of the sower in today's time in Texas. You go outside and throw seeds on your rocky soil out there and it's just going to get blown away. You got to do some work. You got to till the ground. You got to get that fertile soil. You have to plant it down deep. There's a lot of work that has to go into receiving that seed. It's the same way, brethren, with receiving the word of God, that for some of us, let's be honest today, I think for all of us at different times and portions of our lives, there's a lot of work we have to do in order to receive the word. Whether it is preached, whether it is taught, whether if it's just me with the word of God opened at home, that sometimes we've got to break hard ground. We've got to break through the tough ground to get that seed into my heart. He knows how it's described there in our parable when it says in verse 11 that in verse 12, those beside the road, those who fell, and because they didn't get into any kind of soil, the devil comes and takes the word of God away. And there's some people, when the word is preached, when it's taught, when they read it, they never accept it as truth. It never gets an inch in their heart because it's met with a hard, closed-off heart. That is, for some of us, it kind of sounds like this. It's a belief, it's a tradition that I've held to, and I will only ever see the Bible through this lens. I've been taught it this way. Mom and Dad taught it this way. The preacher taught it this way, and I will only ever understand the Bible this way. Or maybe it's, I believe the lie, that this, maybe it's some good self-help stuff, but it's not really relevant to today's times. These are words of men. These are traditions, and they don't really apply. They don't really apply to me. Maybe someone else, but not to me. Or maybe it's this, that I see what it says, and I see what it says about my life, but I'm so caught up in this life of sin that I'm in. I'm so caught up in this habit. I'm so caught up in this behavior that even though I know what it says and understand what it says, I don't want to apply it because I'm caught in. I'm all set on this path. It's what Paul said in Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 17. He says this, I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Notice, due to their hardness of heart. They become callous and have given them up to sensuality and greed and practice every kind of impurity. Why? Well, the word of God was trying to direct them and to warn them and to change them, but it wasn't getting in because their hearts were closed off. I've already made my mind. I've already set my direction. I'm living this way, and you can't change my mind at all. And for some of us, brethren, that's the starting place of getting the word in our life. Before I open this book, I've got to make sure my heart isn't closed off. No matter what God says, no matter what the book says, I already know. I already know what I believe. I already know what truth is. I already know how I'm going to live my life. That's a closed-off heart. There's no point in reading the Bible at that point. Do you know how James says we are to receive the word of God? With pride and arrogance, proving that you've been right all along. No, he says if you're going to receive the word of God, you've got to do so with humility. Humility which says, I may know some things, but I have a lot to learn. My mind may be made up, but my mind is not closed. I have more to learn, more to grow, more to receive from the Word of God. For some of us, we've got to break that hard ground that's closed off from receiving any kind of truth. For some of us, we've got to dig deep. There's that one seed that fell upon the rocky soil. That's not soil with little bits of rocks in it. No, it's soil that on the surface level looks really good. Looks lush, looks fresh, but there's these big rocks underneath. Texas doesn't really have it because Texas just has rock everywhere. But if you go somewhere like Oklahoma or Missouri, you have these giant boulders that are underneath the surface. And if you dig far enough, they're just there. And you can't get them out because it takes a Samson and a couple Goliaths to pull them out of there. And so they're just stuck under the earth. And so the seed is there and the roots begin to grow, but they don't grow very far because there's no room for them there. The roots are shallow. Well, guess what happens when you have a strong wind like we have in the spring and it picks up against that plant that has shallow roots and it didn't get to grab on down deep? Well, we use words like that plant is uprooted. It is tossed away. It is sent asunder, as our southerners say. It's gone. Well, what happens to the people of God when they really don't have a deep faith? That's what he's talking about here. I've read the Bible for a long time, and I might pass the are you smarter than the first grader test. You know, I know my facts. I know my stories. I could probably pass some online Bible quizzes. But if you were to ask me about the meatier portions of the Word, the deeper meanings behind the books, the greater purpose behind these passages, I couldn't tell you. And that shallow understanding and that shallow faith, when it's met with storms like we faced in the past 18 months, it's gone. For some of us, we got to get past that, past the basic understanding, past the names and the places, the who, what, when, where, why's. We start there, but we got to get more. In our Bible class today, if the only thing I see out of the book of Jonah is a man who got swallowed by a big fish, I need to get digging deeper. If the only thing I see out of the book of Ruth is a woman who lost her husband and then got married again, I need to be looking deeper. That was the whole point of that Hebrews 5, that the writer wanted to talk about deeper things, meatier things, but he couldn't because they hadn't applied themselves. Oh, they had the Word of God. They had the opportunity. They had the resources. They just didn't apply themselves to a deeper, more mature understanding of the Word of God, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to lower the nets. Stop settling for the basic facts and start challenging yourself. What does this show me about God? I want to know more about my God, a more deeper, richer, fuller understanding of my God. I want to take this passage and I want to really get into the heart of it, the meat of it, of what it really, really means. And so for some of us, we've got to get past the Bible 101 and we've got to dig deep into the harder, bigger sections of the text. For some of us, we got to pull the weeds because there were some seeds that were sown and they started to grow, but they had some competition because they were growing around these weeds, and the weeds just choke the life out of it. And I think if there's any of us, this is really, I think, all of us. You're in Dallas. Because maybe your day sounds like this. I started the day, and I got my cup of coffee, and I got my Bible, and I read. I read the Word of God. I got it in. I did what I was supposed to do. But then the kids woke up. And I got to get them dressed because they got to go to school and I got to cook breakfast and I have to make sure they have their backpacks and their shoes on the right feet, ready to go. And I send them off to school and I've got to get to work. And once I get to work all day long, it's phone calls and projects and things the boss is never satisfied. Or maybe my work is home and there is a mountain as tall as Everest of laundry that's got to get done before these kids come home. And there's dishes and the floors and every other thing that has to be done and the toddler who's still at home that's not allowing me to do any of it. And all that happens until about 2 when the kids come home. And then it's recitals and practice and games. And then we get them home and we got to get a bite of dinner and do homework. And I got to get them bathed and brush their teeth. And I got to get them to bed because we're doing the same thing tomorrow. And then I'm going to talk to my mate. Don't forget, I'm married. I got to talk to her or to him for a little bit. And then I hit the pillow, absolutely exhausted. And somewhere in that day, I read the Word of God. But if you were to ask me what I read and what it meant, I'm not really sure what I did that day. It's all oblivious. It was choked out because of our busy lives. Now, it would be silly to say, okay, just don't be so busy. It's like saying don't have kids. then happen? So maybe the answer is, even in the midst of a busy schedule, if our time with the Word of God is just a pass and go, a click, a check off of the box and move on, we're not really getting the Word as Jesus intended. It's not doing anything meaningful or lasting in our life if we can't even remember by the end of the day what we've read. You see, that powerful man depicted for us in Psalm 1, who's like that tree that isn't blown, who's firmly planted. Did you notice in verse 1 what he's able to withstand? He's not walking in the counsel of the wicked. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit with the seat of scoffers. He's able to resist all of the evil allurements of people who are walking away from God. And the reason he's able to do so is found in verse 2 and 3, because he has filled his heart with the Word of God. And that's what I've got to find, that even in the midst of a busy schedule, maybe I need to scale back how much I'm reading, and I need to have a more meaningful, lasting impression of the Word written on my heart for that day. In other words, I don't need to treat my daily time in the Word of God like a milkshake. It goes down real fast, and it's over real quick. I need to treat it like a piece of steak. I put it in, and I'm chewing on it for a while, and I'm going to chew on that one piece all day long, and it's going to be really good. In fact, the more you chew on it, the better it gets, the more flavors that come. And all day long, I'm thinking and I'm chewing. At work, I'm thinking and I'm chewing. Driving to soccer practice, I'm thinking and I'm chewing. I'm letting that Word stay with me all day long. It's not a check and a go. It is an unfolding, a writing, an embracing of that Word throughout my daily schedule. Can you see for a minute what it takes to get the Word of God in our life? It's not so simple, open up your Bible and read. I've got to do some work. Because whether if I'm going to sit down and listen to a sermon that's preached, or sit in the Bible class that's going to be engaged, or it's me at home and I'm going to have the Word open, if I'm not in the right place to receive that Word, what I have done means nothing, nothing. And I wonder, for some of us, that's where we are. We've read it, but it doesn't make any lasting change in our life because we didn't allow ourselves, prepare ourselves to receive it. I didn't hear it. Because the other thing that this section illustrates is how we ought to live the Word. That's that next section. That the Word of God is not designed just to make us smarter, but the Word of God is designed to change the way we live, to transform us. What good is it? Imagine this. You're going to be driving home and say, look, I know the road you take home. And at this one stoplight on Ballard Street, you can't turn right. Because if you turn right, there's a lot of accidents there today. The road is in complete disarray. And so don't turn right. If you turn right, you're going to get in an accident. I'm telling you, you're going to get hurt. Don't turn right. When you get there, turn left. It's a little longer, but it's safer, and it's going to get you home. Well, what sense is it if I get to that stoplight, and I remember what I was told, don't turn right, don't turn right. I turn right. Isn't that what Jesus says here? What point is it to have a light that's supposed to show you where you are and to show you what's around you, and you take that light and you put a basket over it. You try and hide it. Well, that defeats the whole purpose of having a light, isn't it? That's the purpose of the Word of God, what it's supposed to produce in us and through us, the blessing that it yields in our lives, how it will lead us and guide us and change us, and, as it says, it will draw others, how it is to be a blessing in the lives of others. So look at verse 18 again. Notice what he says here. Take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him more shall be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. Take care how you listen. For whoever has what? Whoever has that good and honest heart that receives the Word of God, even what he has, more will be given. What's the blessing of getting the Word of God in your life? Well, we have more peace and confidence. We have comfort. We have direction. We have hope. We have strength for the battles that we face every day. Do you see the opposite, though? Because the one who doesn't have that, the one who doesn't have that good and honest heart, the words preached, right to him, it's to you. But I'm not listening. Even what you think you have, you don't. So I think I've got everything I need. I think I've got all the answers. I think I've got a life that's well built. But in reality, I don't have identity. I don't have purpose. I don't have meaning. I don't have hope. I don't have comfort. Because when that strong wind blows, I have nothing to base it on, nothing to stand firm on. You're supposed to live it. Because ultimately then how he ends this is that we are to be identified by this word. Wasn't that fascinating that at the very end when Jesus' mother and brothers show up, and he says, hey, your mom and brothers are waiting for you. He says, my mother and my brothers down in verse 21 are those who hear the word of God and do it. The purpose of the word of God is found, it's wrapped up. If you want to find a hub verse for this section, it's verse 15. The purpose of the word of God is to produce fruits in our lives, to yield good fruit. Our fruit are our words, what we say, and our actions, what we do. Well, do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 about fruit? How do you know a tree? Well, there are some people, and they can just look at a tree and tell you what it is. I'm amazed at your God-given gift. That's really cool. But for the rest of us, we know what a tree is because of the fruit that it bears. That's what Jesus says, that you know a tree by its fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. The bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. In other words, you know the tree by its fruit, by the fruit that it bears. The purpose of the word of God is to produce good fruits within us. You actually think about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there is no law. In other words, what Paul is saying is, you want to know who God is? This is who God is, because this is what God does. This is how God lives. You know the tree by the fruit. And Jesus says, my family, my mother, my brothers, those who are a part of me are those who will be known by the fact that they hear the word of God and they do what it says. Think about that. That's my family. Think about statements that are similar to that. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. How do you know the people of God, the children of God? Well, they make peace. They don't fight. They don't pick fights. They're not contentious. Or what John said, 1 John 3 and verse 10, by this it's evident who are the children of God. How do you know? You're walking out on the street, you're down in a neighborhood. How do you know if someone is a child of God or not? Well, look, we know who are the children of God because we know who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So you got someone who's living in wickedness? Well, he's not living like a child of God. You got someone and they're fighting with their brethren over things that just don't matter? Guess what? He's not living like a child of God. You are known by your fruits. Here we go. You've done so well. Thank you for listening. Let's catch up right here. Brethren, this invites us to ask a really important question. What kind of fruit are you bearing? What seed is sown in your heart? Are you a person of peace? Do you live a righteous life? Are you known for your love for your fellow man, your neighbor, your brethren? Are you following, walking in the fruit of the Spirit, bearing the example of Jesus? Are you maybe the opposite? Does it seem like everything you do is just following the imprint of the world, like you're pressed into its mold, and you look just like everybody else, and you speak like everybody else, and you act like everybody else, that your fruit is bearing the resemblance that your tree has not been sown by the seed of God or his word, but the seed of the evil one? How are you known? Well, I'm a Christian. Yeah, you might say you're a Christian, but your life says something different. But I believe in Jesus. You can claim that, but you know, after looking at your social media account, I wouldn't know it. But I just worship God. Yeah, but look what you said. I mean, you worship God at 10 a.m., but at 11, you were cursing that waiter up and down. You will know the tree by its fruit, by its fruit. We are identified by the word of God. Can you see that the application of this section is so clear, how we walk it right off the page? Because one of the things right away is, okay, I need to start examining my efforts. I got to be examining, am I getting the seed in my heart? Am I getting the word of God in my life? I've got to start right there. And there's really two ways we could do this. We could do it forwards. Let's work it forwards. Am I in the Bible? Am I reading the Bible every day? Do I spend some time in the Bible every day? Is it check and go, or am I learning anything? Am I growing? Am I maturing? Am I understanding? And am I walk? How's my living of that? How's my fruit? Does the way I live, does it show any evidence that I've spent time in the Word of God? I can work it forwards, and we can do that. How's your daily habits? But you know, maybe that's too simple. Maybe we need to do it a little more pointedly and work it backwards. How's your fruit? Well, I read the Bible. I'm in the Bible all the time. Great. How's your fruit? How's your fruit? How's your words? How's your habits? Are you really anxious? Like you're anxious all the time and you're worried? Are you really angry? Really bitter all the time, no matter what someone says, especially about the hot button issues. I don't even have to say them, and you're in your mind right now. Get real mad. Do you find yourself at conflict with others? Do you find yourself battling worldly thoughts? Because, brethren, the fruit that we bear is nothing but evidence of what seed is sown in our hearts. So maybe we just need to work it backwards. And ask, out of this last week that God graciously let me live here on earth, what fruit did I bear? Because it may be evidence that I need to spend less time on the world news and more time in the good news. I think for a lot of us, are so anxious and angry. Have you felt the angry tones over the last 18 months? Are you suffering with anger now over something stupid someone has said? Excuse me. I think for a lot of us, we need to spend less time with Facebook and more time in God's book. Because imagine what this week would look like if I wasn't so focused on people's opinions. People's opinions. If I wasn't so focused on popular things, popular thoughts, popular living, popular news, if I wasn't so focused on political leanings and I was focused on things above, on things that matter the most, what fruit is your life yielding? Because that's the source. That's the root cause. Your anger, your fear, your worry, your bitterness is all rooted back to what you're sowing in your life. And a lot of us, we're sowing all the worldly thoughts. We're letting Satan run wild with our hearts because we're not spending time hearing the Word of God. And so I need to examine my efforts. Work it back or forwards. Maybe I'm not in the Bible. Well, work it forwards. Get in the Bible. Start reading. Get in the plan. Call one of us. We'd love to read the Bible together. Maybe I need to work it backwards. Well, I'm in the Word of God. How's your fruit? How you living? Here's number two. I got to prepare for my time in the Word. That's got to show it there, that just being in the Word of God is not enough. Just saying I'm going to open it up and close it, and that's going to be enough for me. You've got to prepare for your time in the Word of God. How is my heart? I need to prepare the soil for the seed. I need to prepare my life to hear God's words. And there is a direct application for this, because Lord willing, in 7 days, we have Mark Roberts, who's going to be here, and he is going to be with us Sunday through Wednesday, bringing the Word of God. His message is going to be on recharge. And so his lessons are entitled, I'm Tired of Being a Christian, God's Word for Stressed Out Christians, Finding Paul's Peace of Mind, Rejuvenating Your Marriage, and Keeping Your Focus on Jesus in a Distracting World. Wow, I think we need some of those. I think we need all those. Do you know what I wondered about? I thought about that parable and preparing the soil for the seed. And I thought about our meeting coming up with Brother Mark Roberts. And you know what thought came to me? How do you prepare for a gospel meeting? I don't mean sweep the carpets and send out invitations. I mean, how do we prepare? We have Mark coming. We have a preacher coming to prepare, who has prepared his messages, and he's going to preach to us the Word of God. What can you do? What can I do to prepare for this gospel meeting? For the seed that's going to be sown to us in a week. Right here, you ready? 4 things you can do this week to get ready for our gospel meeting. Number one is that you need to be present. Whether that's here in person, tuned in online, I forgot where camera is today, tuned in online, you need to be present. You need to get it in, because this is going to do no good to have someone come and to share these messages, but I've not given them any time in my life. You need to hear it. You need to hear every lesson he's going to preach. Be present. Be what is said of Cornelius when Peter was invited. He says, we are all here and ready for your words. We need to be engaged, because even though it's called Recharged, and he's going to be talking about hope and building our life about in the right commitment on Jesus, learning takes activity. You can't sit in an advanced calculus math class and just say, I'm ready, give it in. You got to be ready to listen. You got to be ready to focus. You got to be ready to take some notes. Here's the thing, folks, my brethren. You're coming off of a long day of work. You're coming off of a long day with the kids. You've got to know that. This is not a vacation. This is not smooth jazz, sitting in the pew, sitting back and letting someone just tickle your ears. This is someone who's going to give some messages, and they're going to help you, but you got to be ready to listen. You got to be ready to take it in. And so we need to come prepared to be engaged. I'm ready to listen to you. I'm ready to hear what you're saying. I'm ready to understand what you're saying, and I'm ready to walk it off the page and to do what it is that you are teaching and the preaching and what God is saying it is I need to do. I need to be prayerful. I need to pray for this church that we're going to be successful in this endeavor. That is, it's not about evangelism, brethren. It's about you and I. If someone is saved, if the gospel is spread and someone needs to hear the gospel and they are saved, glory to God. Glory and praise to God. But this is about us. Pray we get stronger from this meeting. Pray we are uplifted from this meeting. Pray that we are fed well and that we are even stronger unified from this meeting. Pray for Mark. Pray for his strength. Strength of mind, strength of voice, strength of will, strength of boldness, strength of courage. Pray for you. Have you done that before? Gracious Father, we've got a gospel meeting coming in. I've got a long week. I've got a lot of things coming in. But Father, I want to grow. I really want to grow from this. And so help me to listen really well. Help me to come hungry and to leave fed. Help me to have ears that will hear your word and a heart that will receive them, no matter what it is that is said. And ultimately, I got to be fruitful. That is, if he's preaching a message about being recharged, I don't know his sermons, but I'll tell you this. If he's preaching about being recharged, about being peaceful, and I leave more anxious, I'm not bearing the right fruit. If he's praying about not being focused and distracted on the world, but I leave here plugged in immediately and making posts about the world and watching news reports about the world, I'm not bearing the right fruit. It is of no good to have someone come in and to preach the word of God to us and to direct our lives down to the right path. And we say, that's great. I know you're telling me not to turn right, but I'm going to turn right anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do. Brethren, we got to come prepared to say, no matter what it is that God is going to show us through his servant, no matter who it is who is preaching, I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to learn, and I'm ready to live. I'm going to put it into action in my life. And we can do that to the glory of God. So if you will, let's bow in prayer. Our wonderful and our gracious God, we give you thanks and honor and glory and praise. It all belongs to you. You are good and you are high and you are holy. The Lamb is beautiful and gentle and merciful, and we thank you so much for who you are and who you are to us. We thank you for this morning of worship. We thank you for our time together in song. We thank you for our time in your words. We're thankful for this morning where we can lift your name up and leave ever more focused on you. Before us, by your goodwill, will be a week in the word. We've invited Mark Roberts to come, as you know, and we ask your greatest blessing upon it. We ask that you help it to be successful for your glory, for your name. We ask that you strengthen our faith through this effort. We ask that you help us to come hungry. Become ready to learn, ready to grow, ready to be comforted and strengthened through your words. Father, every time this precious word is open, you have blessed us so richly through these words. Help us to hear them. Help us, please. Help us to hear these words, to receive these words, and to be bearing fruit that shows you, that shows the world that we love you and are striving every day to become more like your Son. We give you thanks, Father, for this time of study. We pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not given your life to Jesus, today's the day you need to do so. If you believe that he is and are willing to confess him as Lord, to turn from that life of sin and to be baptized, you today can become adopted into his family, and we'd love to help you with that. Maybe you're here and you have a lot of questions about the Bible and God and the church, a lot of things that you've seen today, and we'd love to talk with you if you've got some questions. Or maybe you're here and you just need some help. You've come with a lot of burdens from the world, and you've come to the family here at Kimball Road, and you need someone to talk to, someone who will pray with you. This is a time when we can help you. But we can't help you if you don't tell us how it is that we can help you. So if there's something we can do, if there's any way that we can encourage or help you in any way, right here's where you need to be. Let's do it now. Let's stand. Let's sing.